Okay, the December 7th, 2011 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustments will now come to order. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
Larson. Absent. Fieldmeyer.
Here.
McGill.
Here.
Scarlett. Absent.
Okay, you've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Do we have any changes or additions to note? Hearing none, then all in favor of approving the agenda for tonight's meeting simply signify by saying aye.
Aye.
You've also been given in your packet draft minutes from the November 2nd, 2011 meeting. Are there any corrections or omissions to note at this time? Okay. Hearing none, then the minutes will stand approved as mailed in the package. Before we get started, we will go through what the process of the board is at this point in time. First of all, we start off with having the staff present the staff report. We will also ask the staff to present any letters or communications received by the public. We will then have the applicant present his or her case. And then we do not have any members of the public, but if they were here, we'd have them from the public. And with no public comments, then we won't have the applicant readdress. And then we will close the hearing, and the board will deliberate, and we will come to a resolution at this point in time. So, already signed in, so we don't have to worry about that. Let's move on to the first order of business, which is VAR 02-11, the Bradley variance. So, Leanne?
The request for the variance to minimum lot size of 35 acres that's defined in the A1 agricultural zone district, which is part of the Story County Land Development Regulations. Just to give you some general property information, this is all in the staff report, so I'm not going to reiterate the legal description since it's lengthy, but we are located in Section 22 of Lafayette Township. Brian Bradley is a property owner and the appellant. The size of the parcel is a little under 6 acres gross and then 5.5 acres net. Again, it's zoned A1 agricultural, which is why the 35-acre minimum applies. It's currently assessed as an agricultural land use and currently vacant land. And it's designated on the county development plan as agricultural conservation area, and there is some natural resource area on the property. This is a general location map that was sent out to the surrounding property owners, notifying them of this evening's meeting. You can see it's located not dead center of Lafayette Township, but definitely within the center section of it. It's an irregular shaped parcel. It's not definitely not a square shape, and it is bound down the west end side by the railroad. What I did, this is the squiggly lines up there are the elevations that are defined by the LIDAR. LIDAR is the information that's been generated by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. When we get into staff for the discussion on hardship, I wanted to put this up here so you did see there was some topographical concerns with the property. You see there are a couple of flatter spots right in the middle. It seems to be a little bit higher in that area, and then as you go a little bit to west, but then you run into the elevation change due to the railroad. There is floodplain on the property, but it just cuts the very northwest northeast corner. That blue is the floodplain. Going right to the findings of fact, these were outlined in the staff report, so just quite simply, the previous individual, not the applicant, did request property research. At that point, we found that none of the exceptions to the 35-acre minimum would apply. And as part of doing that, we did conduct a LESA, a land evaluation site assessment. And the threshold that's established through LESA to be an exception to the 35-acre minimum was not satisfied as well. However, it did score such that it would allow rezoning the property to come forward. Following that, the current property owner did come forward and request a conceptual review meeting to consider possibly rezoning the property. at that meeting, we took a step back and said perhaps you should look at going to the Board of Adjustment for variance, because quite honestly, rezoning that property would be going along the lines of spot zoning, and staff was concerned with that. In the findings of fact, we did reiterate the applicable section from the standards for approval that deal with rezoning. And then on November 11th, the application form and submittal requirements for tonight's hearing were submitted and deemed complete, and surrounding property owners were sent out on November 30th, and publications, legal publications noted in the paper on October 20th. That should be November 30th as well. I'm sorry. We'll have to snag that in the decision and order. Legal principles, you're well aware of these. Every variance does have to satisfy the same set of legal principles that are established in our ordinance. I'll go right to the finding of unnecessary hardship. Number A, that's the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. In this case, the property being zone A1 agricultural does allow for several different uses, but they are predominantly agricultural in nature. B there, the principal permitted uses, was listed in the staff report and the screen as well. That lists those uses that are defined in the ordinance as those that are appropriate in the A1 district. There are a number of conditional use permits as well, but we didn't we only looked at the principal permitted uses. But I can share with you the conditional uses too. There are some concerns with property that the soils are such that active row crop may not, and the size and the topography and the configuration may not allow for standard active row crop production. There are several concerns on property that definitely construction of single family dwelling or conventional farming as we know it is probably not very viable on this piece of ground. So as you whittle down to the list of principal permitted uses, I encourage you to check off which ones are or not viable. I've already taken agricultural crop production off. Livestock production may be viable, but then the board must weigh whether or not that is reasonable return. Public schools, honestly, I don't think the public school systems will okay in this. Cemeteries. Again, township trustees, I don't think, need to establish a new cemetery. Kennels, essentially, though, kennels need to be associated with another use, like a house or something, rather than just establishing a kennel on the property. Public or private stables and riding academies and clubs, you know, that could be established here, too, and that does not have a minimum lot size like the A1 district or the 35-acre, and then parks and forest preserves. So there are some types of uses that potentially could be established on this property, but it goes back to whether or not that reasonable return is established with those types of uses, especially given the fact that this is a 5.5-acre piece of ground. Going forward, the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not the general conditions in the neighborhood, which may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. Usually we do look at topographical limitations again. In this case, there are constraints as that slide showed with the contour lines. There's a lot of existing vegetation on the site as well. Floodplain, while it's minimal on the site, I have a feeling that it might flood more than what the floodplain does show, or the chance is greater there. The size itself must be considered too, given it's smaller in size. It was created in 1988 as a parcel of record when it was divided from a larger parcel that was initially bounded by the railroad right-of-way on the west. That lot line configuration, or those lot lines in the general area, are kind of unique. They're not just the standard allotment parts, and I'll go back to that slide and show you what I mean with that. There is one residence immediately east of the parcel and one to the south. Let me see if this will work and go back. Okay, you can see that to the south and the east, that's where there are normal quarter-quarter sections lie. But when you go to the northeast and the north, directly north, and then to the northwest, that existing railroad right-of-way really does affect the layout and the design of the lots. So far, we're doing okay with computer. Lastly, under the finding of unnecessary hardship, we look at whether or not the essential character of the locality will be affected negatively. Really, it's rural in nature. The addition of another single-family dwelling with a larger lot size, 5.5 acres, versus a more residential lot size, would not be unique in the area. Continuing on then to legal principle number 2, that the public interest will not be the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. It won't really addition one more house in this road won't decrease levels of service on any road or utility. Should not burden current health, safety, and general welfare of the public. And then the last legal principle is conformance with the spirit of intent of the Story County Development Plan and the Story County Land Development Regulations. The land is designated on the County Development Plan as agricultural conservation area. We do note, though, in the agricultural conservation area, and as well as having single-family dwellings as a permitted use in the A1 district, that rural residences will occur. It's not solely set aside for agricultural production. So with that, it would not be contrary to the spirit of intent of the plan and the regulations. Your alternative, you may approve variance case number VAR02-11 as proposed. And with conditions, you may approve it just as proposed. You may deny it as proposed, or you may table it for additional information from staff and or the applicant. Question, could you send the light, please? We have received public correspondence. Today, actually, we had a visit from one individual and a phone call from another gentleman. The phone call from the gentleman earlier today did wish to remain anonymous, but he did express his opposition to the proposed variance request. Paul Voga did stop into our office today, and he did express his opposition to the request as well. So I do want to get those on the record. We don't have any written correspondence, though.
Did either of them specify the reasons?
That they were opposed.
One phone call and one visit?
I'll be glad to answer any questions. Is your microphone on too?
I don't know.
Okay. They are neighbors.
People who were notified.
Yeah, they fall within the surrounding property owner notification. Mr. Voga does, I believe, live immediately south, or on land immediately south of the property.
Okay.
My question, Leanne, at this point in time is the firmness on the Lisa score part. I mean, we've turned around and have said in the staff report that it does meet the Lisa and doesn't meet the SAs.
And that would just, it meets the total Lisa score, and that's important when we're talking about rezoning of the property.
Because we're trying to preserve the agricultural land, and that makes sense, and the outcome makes sense. But my question, I guess, is under the zoning regs, are we able to interpret that at all, or is that if that's a hard number, do we even have something to talk about here?
Yeah, there's two different, what you're talking about is that it's just an outright variance to minimum lot size. Not even saying that any of the exceptions apply, just saying the exception that would be applicable would be a variance. It's really kind of confusing until you work with it a little bit, and then you can see the nuances on it. The total Lisa score, and when we're talking about rezonings, is important that we look at that, because that looks at the soils as well as all the site assessment classifications. So when we're talking about total rezoning, we want to just focus on that component, that total score. When we're talking about individual buildability of a parcel for one of the exceptions to the 35-acre minimum, which is codified in the A1 district, the site assessment becomes equally as important to that total Lisa score. because a property could have very, very low scores on soil, be a very poor soil, but also be have some really good natural resources. And that's where LISA's dual focus. It protects both our agricultural resources but our natural resources. It may score higher on a site assessment, but that soil will bring the total LISA score, keep it where it's not below that 266.
Because when I went into the regs and took a look, I could find, like, which exception it was an amendment to it where they talked about the LISA, but I couldn't find a reference to the SA.
There's one in the, it's in two different parts of the ordinance. One's in Chapter 15 amendments, and that's dealing strictly with rezoning.
That's the one I think that I
that's the one you would
just
reference.
That just said something about the LISA, and so I was trying to find out, make sure I understood the distinction and what latitude, if any, we had as a board to deal with LISA and SA or just LISA, having looked at Chapter 15.
And Chapter 4 is where the exception to a 35-acre minimum as applies to LISA is set forth for the A1 district. In that case, it says you have to have both. You have to have both the site assessment and LISA score below if you want buildable, or it depends on your goal. If you want to preserve prime ag or natural resource area, you want to score above. But again, to reiterate, the LISA is part of the findings of fact of staff's research and property report, but as a board, you do have the latitude to say that there is enough hardship present with this to grant the variance, irregardless of the LISA score.
That was what I was trying to get at, is how much latitude that we would have.
Now, and it won't confuse the matter more, but if we had, and you've seen this, I don't think any of you three have, but you may at some point, if we as a department do a LISA and do a property research report, that's a determination by the director. And so in this particular case, within 30 days of when that letter was issued in 2010, that property owner could have appealed that LISA score and said we made an error in determining that, which is not what we have here. But I just, for some...
Good background. We appreciate it.
Interesting.
Other questions for staff at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tilday, we will... I assume you're Mr. Bradley?
I am.
Please approach the podium. We'd like to hear from you today. Identify your name and address, if you would, so that we can get that in the record.
Okay. My name is Brian Bradley. I'm living at 228 17th Street in Ames, and I've purchased the 6-acre property off of 140th, and am requesting a variance to keep the character the same. You know, it's not a property that could really be farmed. It's got a big flat railroad barrow that is like all clay. And the rolling hills, so it's not it doesn't lend itself to an ag application. So I'm hoping to get a variance to be able to. I think she made the case for why it meets all the conditions of granting a variance. So I don't think I need to say too much. I'll answer any questions. It would just be a single family dwelling that I'd be putting on there probably.
Mentioned you just purchased this property
in July. Yes.
Any neighbor might be disturbed about granting a variance and having you build a house there.
Two houses. I've actually talked to Paul a couple days ago, and then I talked to the other neighbor today. He said he didn't have any problem with it. That are right, the one to the east and the one to the south. I didn't ask Paul if he had a problem. I mean, he seemed a nice enough guy, and we just had a conversation. And I talked to his wife before I moved in about, you know, their deal and what they thought of the property and all that. I'm sure it's just, you know, they don't want the house if they can stop it. You know, it's just not in my backyard, you know, kind of thing. So,
no specific reason given or anything like that. You think it's just sort of a general?
Okay. Nothing personal. I don't. unless in our short conversation he did see something personal, but it didn't seem that way from. From my side, so yeah, they seem like nice enough people, but they like it quiet, and of course I'm going to keep it quiet. It's just going to be a single house, and it's going to be way back off the road. I'm trying to make it so you can't even see the house because there's a lot of cedar trees on there. So it's going to be, you know, the intent would be very quiet back off the road. So it really wouldn't affect them probably as much as they think. So.
Are you intending to build the house yourself, or are you having someone contract it?
I would be the general.
Okay.
And I would actually do the plumbing and the electrical and all that, but hire out the framing and the drywall and what I can't do. So. Done that before. It worked out pretty well.
Okay.
One time before. So. It's not like I do it all the time.
Purchased the property in July with the idea, already have the idea you're going to build a house.
Yeah. I want to get
or lived out in the county or?
Yeah, off of North Dakota. We had 8 acres there. I grew up in the country. You know, I'm a country kid. Not anymore, but I was a country kid.
All of this was a surprise to you?
No. I knew going in that I would have to go through this process. I've been through this process before on the house off of North Dakota, only there the issue was enough easement on a private lane that already had multiple houses off of it. So I kind of knew, I kind of knew that it's not a horrible process typically, that if you've got justification that you should be able to get that. And if not, then there's always, I guess, rezoning in that attempt. So. Seemed like it. The property itself lends itself to a, you know, to this sort of application as opposed to ag application.
Catch this, but was this parcel surveyed off from a landowner that owned some existing land for you, for the sale to you, or did somebody actually own this same parcel before you bought it?
Somebody bought it, actually, I think twice. In 88, it was surveyed in 88, but okay. Then the house to the east, it was part of that parcel.
Oh.
And the people that had it before me had it since 2008, I think. There are a couple that live in Ames, and I think they were going to build, but then never went through the procedure to make it happen. So, yeah. So, anything else?
Okay. Take a seat, and we're going to close the hearing at this time and deliberate. I have to hear a little bit more from staff, because obviously staff suggested to planning and zoning that it come back this route, and I guess I'd like to hear just a little bit more on the pros and the cons. I mean, from what I'm understanding is you don't want to get into a spot zoning scenario, which would have its own set of issues to this, and so you must have felt that this was a viable avenue to at least explore.
I think given the layout of this property, the unique configuration with the railroad, and the existence of the topography on it, as well as the soils are not very high for conventional row crop, and the size is enough limiting. And through the conceptual review, we discussed this would probably be the preferred avenue to go rather than a rezoning, because not only would you have to rezone the property, you would have to go through a process to amend the county development plan, and
I noticed in your, in the choices that we had, that we could approve the variance with conditions. Did staff have some thought about what conditions might apply in a case like this? Okay.
That's standard. And
making sure we.
No, and what's unusual, though, is I put it as the first alternative instead. Normally it's the second one, I think. And I, for no reason why I did that. In the back of my mind, too, when I brought the idea forth, that conceptual review, the board in the past year or two has acted on another variance for minimum lot size for the Gabrielson property. And in that case, not so much the terrain's less wooded and vegetative, and the creek is more on the property, and the floodplain's a big limitation on that. But you weigh that with the vegetation on this property too, and that was in the back of my mind that, you know, the board's taken some action in that matter. It'd be worthwhile for the applicant's time to come forward and try this and see if this is an option.
Work our way through this. First of all, the findings of fact. I think was there one correction, Leanne, that we needed to make in the findings of fact?
Item number five, instead of referencing October 20th, it should be December 1st. Isn't that the? Yeah, I think it was December 1st is when they were published.
I move that the board adopt the findings of fact in the staff report, with the exception of a modification to fact number 5 and the reference to October 20th, amending that to December 1st, 2011, prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
Hey, we've got a motion from Fehlmeyer, a second from McGill to adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment with the correction that was noted in the motion. Cool.
Fehlmeyer?
Yes.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Now we go on to the legal principles. And of which there are several items to go down through, which would appear, as it often happens, that the single item is end up being 1A, the finding of unnecessary hardship, that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for the purpose allowed in that zone. I think we've heard the comment from staff that in the A1 zone there are a number of different uses that are allowed, but for this particular parcel and its configuration and everything, a number of those do not apply to this property. And so if we go forward to adopt the decision on the legal principles, we would probably have to do that with the understanding that item 1A did not apply. That has been the case in the past. I believe the other principles that are in there have pretty much been resolved, and we're consistent. I think we're at the 1A part. Anyone have concern over? An item that we would like to explore further.
Would you like me to tell you those conditional uses that are allowed in the district? I only address the principal permitted uses.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Trying to pull it up right now. Those allowed in the A1 district through a conditional use permit process that ultimately has to be approved by the Board of Adjustment are private, non-commercial, and these are in Table 10.1, the Table of Conditional Uses, private, non-commercial aircraft landing fields, golf courses, except miniature golf courses, private gun clubs, indoor recreational facilities, campgrounds not operated for profit, lodges and fraternal organizations, public water supply and sewage treatment facilities, communication towers and facilities, temporary facilities for music events, Music events, entertainment, religious meetings, and similar uses. Any land or building used by a private utility service except CWEX. Nurseries and greenhouses. Drag strips, go-kart tracks, courses, etc. Commercial campgrounds and travel trailer parks. Mineral extraction, primary mineral processing, ready-mix concrete plants. Adaptive reuse of abandoned schools, churches, or other institutional uses. Rural salvage yard in conjunction with an owner-occupied single-family dwelling, child care centers, agricultural line storage site, bed and breakfast inn, astronomical observatories, construction, demolition, landfills, farm, retail, and novelty, church, commercial wind energy, conversion system, adult bookstore, and that's it. I was just going down the list, and that's the only one that's not allowed.
Really what this comes... Why you get in there? What this comes down to is whether we believe that the only reasonable use for this property is to either do nothing with it or to allow a house to be built in it. Because the other uses, because of the size, because of the railroad, because of are extenuating enough to say that this is probably the higher use for this particular property and its configuration.
A lot of those conditional uses would have substantial impacts on the roadways. Even those not allowed.
Okay. So if the board is comfortable with that, I'd then ask for a motion to adopt the legal principles.
Move to adopt the decision regarding the legal principles and staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments.
I'll second.
We've got a motion and a second from McGill and Thielmeyer to adopt the decision regarding legal principles and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
McGill?
Aye.
Thielmeyer? Miller?
Aye. We don't have any conditions or anything, so the last would be to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion from Thielmeyer and second from McGill to approve the request as proposed by the applicant in case number VAR02-11 as discussed by the Board of Adjustments and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, finding that all applicable legal principles have been satisfied. Roll.
Miller.
Aye.
Thielmeyer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley. We have deliberated and have completed our task. Let's work and build a good house. Given we have three people, of course, that leaves only one board member absent. It's with Steve going off. We need to elect officers. That was on the agenda as the next item. Okay.
Your rules of procedure require that you elect officers the
last meeting
of the year.
I didn't know with just being three here whether that was workable.
I move we elect David Miller as chairman.
We need a vice chair as well.
Who's missing?
I want to volunteer. Lynn is missing at this time.
Great.
Okay. It's probably your motion now.
I will move that Steve McGill serve as our vice chair. Yeah.
We've got a motion from McGill and, I'm going to say and, Thielmeyer for election of officers, which would be Dave Miller as chair and Steve McGill as vice chair for the year 2012. Let's have a roll call.
Thielmeyer?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. Didn't mean that the way it sounded, but
Any other business to bring before the board? Any other comments from staff?
After board comments? Can I go after board comments?
Yes. We should have one thing on that one for sure. But go. Oh, board comments? I'd like the record to appreciate the service of Steve Larson as he leaves the board, and like to thank him for his service to the board and the time that he spent with us. So,
board supervisors will be recognizing him next Tuesday morning.
Great.
Good.
Like to come and wait 10 o'clock.
Anything else for staff?
Put
it a hand out.
I handed out a flyer that just talked about the Board of Adjustment. We do have a vacancy, and we also have a vacancy on Planning and Zoning Commission, too. And with that, Paul, too, asked if there was a nice handout that we could give to potential, either put on our website or give to potential members. And so we put this together, you know, rather quickly, but it's just to give a very brief overview on what you do, what your powers are, how you operate, how your meetings are held, when they're held, and what the length of term is. So if you have any feedback on that, I'd greatly appreciate it. And then we'll put this on our website, too. And just actually, I'm looking forward to having this that we can have on the counter and give to people. And here, if you're interested, we always are taking names. So any feedback you have?
I think it's a good idea. It's a great idea.
You're looking to fill somebody in the unincorporated areas for Steve's position, I
think. Right, yeah. The vacancy I just talked about then, too. I don't know that you know that as of January 1st, 2012, the Planning and Zoning Department will no longer exist. We will be Planning and Development. So that's kind of exciting. We'll be changing our name on everything. We still have the Planning and Zoning Commission. Their name does not change, and nor does your name be affected at all, but you'll see some slight changes. With that, we're trying to really revamp the services that we offer, looking at streamlining all of our applications, all of our development review processes, even just changing simple things like the staff report templates, which is the next thing I want to get your feedback. We changed so it's more portrait. If we do want to put maps in there, it'll fit there nicer than trying to squeeze it in. Was the template okay? Will that work for you?
Helpful with it. Yeah.
And that's all I have.
Do we have a meeting in January?
I don't have anything as of yet, but we'll have to wait till...
Yeah, I was just curious whether we... Whether it was an automatic gift at this point or not. Okay. We will then stand adjourned. Thank you, everyone.